Automatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And hey, I'm Dr. Lisa. I give a shit. I give a shit about all those people in Puerto Rico. I had a chat today with somebody from Puerto Rico about their relatives, and I'm really hoping that gets taken care of pretty soon. A lot of those people don't want to leave, understandably. So we're all concerned. I want to put that out there. I want to get that off my chest. But mostly, what I really want to tell you right at this moment, besides the great guest I have on today, Noah Becker, I am competing tonight for to be the next Miss Subways. Is that crazy or what? If you go to my Facebook page, you can see me being interviewed on New York One about it. And I'm going to fucking kick ass. And you know why? Because I'm old. That's my platform. I think it's time to head a postmenopausal woman as Miss Subways. And this is my time. And I think that you should, I think you guys should stand out there. Everyone who's listening, make yourself a sign and get out there, okay? Work with me on this. So we have a great guest on today, Noah Becker. Hi, Noah.
Hello.
Hey, Noah, get a little, let's try that again. I just want to see your levels, your sound levels.
That was my Canadian voice. That's not very Canadian.
You can talk closer.
I did a Canadian hello.
Okay. I think we're rocking now. Let's try it. Sorry, guys. Try it again.
Hello. Check. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Oh.
That's weird. Oh wait.
Uh-huh.
Wait.
There
okay.
It is.
Okay.
Gotcha.
There we go.
All right.
Okay, good. We're good. I'm still learning. It's only been 2 years, so we got to give me a break. The fact this is happening at all is amazing. So the thing about Noah Becker, there's a couple of things I want you to know about him. First of all, he's a multi hyphenate. He is an incredible painter. He has a facility to control and make the paintings he wants to make, and he has a lot of range in what he likes to make. Is that accurate?
I guess so.
Yeah, okay. So that's how I describe Noah's paintings. And he's not like he's not like freaking out going, you don't get it. So we're going to work with that. And then he's also a very, very accomplished jazz saxophonist. And he also runs, he's the founding editor of this very, very interesting and very well-regarded magazine, Art World Magazine, called White Hot Magazine. And he's written for, Art in America Interview, Huffington Post, blah, 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 blah. Lots of shit, man. Lots of shit. So the guy's smart. It's a little intimidating, frankly, because he knows a lot more than I do. And he's got the vocabulary, the art vocabulary down. So I'm a little bit intimidated. I just want to put that out there, Noah. Are you surprised to hear that? Or do you expect that?
I don't really have any expectations at all.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We're fixing this mic
okay.
Here.
Okay.
Good. Noah has no expectations. So, great. We're going to sing kids' songs for the next hour.
Right.
Just kidding. So, I want you to know, so this is one of the things about Noah. I did an interview with Noah a couple of years ago, and this is the thing, and I was telling Noah before he was on, this is the thing that stuck in my mind the most about Noah. So I want you guys to know where I am coming from thinking about Noah. Noah was brought up on this tiny, isolated island in Canada. British Columbia, your house burned down, you moved and all that. But I'm just saying, Noah is a very cosmopolitan guy. And yet he was brought up in this totally isolated environment. So that's fucking weird. Okay, I just want to say that. Wait, that's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any explanation for that?
For what?
Like how you became so cosmopolitan after being brought up in such a you know, being brought up in, you know, like a square, like 4 square acres, never going anywhere. No, I mean, you know,
I think
isolated.
Maybe it was conditioning.
Conditioning?
Yeah.
You mean nurture, not nature?
Well, I guess there's an aspect that isn't cosmopolitan, but still kind of island like, you know, not cosmopolitan.
Maybe that's, I guess
I just, it was, I didn't want to put on cosmopolitan armor too much.
Which, well, you know.
Although I went through a sort of that phase, but I wasn't living in New York at the time.
Yeah, and how old were you when you left the island? You went to Hunter.
I was around, well, we had traveled a lot in the States.
Oh, okay, right. What did your dad do?
He was a businessman, that, and they decided to drop out and move to the Gulf Islands
right,
of Canada.
Right, right.
They went from Cleveland to Thetis Island, British Columbia.
But they took you on lots of trips.
We would spend part of the time in Las Vegas and part of the time in Mexico.
Oh, right. I'm remembering this now. See, Las Vegas, that's what we're talking about.
So I wasn't entirely isolated for my whole childhood.
No, and you obviously are, you know, innately bright and curious, which can make anyone worldly and sophisticated if they follow that in the way that you have, for sure. So the reason we are actually in, the reason, I'm thrilled to have you on, and I would have booked you, I would have booked you probably months ago, but what occurred to me to invite you on was that I saw this, and I was thrilled that you said yes, but I saw this post on your Facebook page that said, I was feeling slightly depressed earlier, so I asked a friend for advice on this matter. His reply was, cheer up, non-existence is right around the corner. So Noah, you got 120 responses to this. And what struck me about this as being unusual, actually, is that I zero in when people say they're depressed or whatever. I notice those things. And I have to say, Noah, that you had an unusual outpouring of support, like lots of comments, lots of people. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah.
You were.
Mm-hmm.
Did that affect you? How the Facebook community responded? Did it affect you at all?
Yeah.
Now, if we go through the posts, which I did, we really don't get any real insight into what the issue was or anything like that. And you didn't really talk about it directly, I don't think. Right? That's true?
I think I was depressed for about an hour.
An hour?
But then I got a lot of messages wondering if I was suicidal or wondering, you know, and it wasn't like that bad.
But how could people think that? It says,
well, they don't know. They see something. You say you're depressed. They assume you're ready to jump off a bridge.
I was feeling slightly depressed earlier. That is nowhere near suicidal.
Which means when I posted it, I was no longer feeling depressed.
Okay.
So then I hear from you. You're a therapist. Are you a registered therapist?
No.
But I heard from you because that's your area of...
Well... You know, when somebody's depressed, I have to find out about it.
Right.
By the way, I just want to start off. Well, let's chew on that a little bit, because I want to do a station. I just want to remind people and say thank you for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn and Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. That's this show. And we have over 70 shows on the station. We have everything. We've got politics. We've got talk, we've got comedy, we've got music, everything from rap to jazz to you name it, stripping music probably. Do we have any stripping shows? We need some stripper. Anybody want to do a stripping show? Get in touch with us. So anyway, and we have a call-in number. A lot of people out there might be interested. Noah is extremely well-versed on art, the art world, culture in general. So if you have any questions and you want to call in, please do. We're at 718 928-9732. And we're getting a call right now. Okay, now we're really going to test my skills.
Do it. How do you do it?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, wow. Can you hear me?
I just got this phone, so yeah, I can hear you, but I don't know how to use it.
I think we can hear him. Can you hear? Who is it?
My name is Frank Sisney.
Oh, hey, Bernick? Bernick. What's your name? Say it again. Come on.
F-R-A-N-K, Frank.
Oh, Frank.
Frank.
Right.
Did you hear this?
I'm a friend of Noah's on his site.
He's a friend of mine on my Facebook site.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I watch him very closely. He White Hot Magazine is really hot.
It is. So you're a Noah Becca fan?
I'm sorry?
Are you a Noah Becca fan?
Well, I'm a Noah Becca fan, yeah.
Where are you located?
I'm in... right now I'm in Oklahoma City.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
So, Noah, is this person's name ringing a bell?
Yeah.
Oh, is it somebody you've met IRL?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of like a goddess side of Noah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right.
So
anyway, I wanted to touch base. I'm glad that I got to hear this conversation.
Oh.
Okay.
So you're going to be listening?
I'm sorry?
So you're going to be listening today?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's great.
Cool.
Good to know.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later then, I guess.
Thank you, Noah.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Oklahoma City.
Oh, that guy Frank wants us to know. Hey, Frank.
Well, I had no idea he was from Oklahoma City.
Oh, really?
Well, I've been in Oklahoma City. I'm living in Santa Monica. So I kind of travel back and forth.
Okay. All right. Well, nice talking
to
you.
Okay, we're going to say goodbye because I got to talk to Noah. Goodbye. That's the show.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Anyway, thanks for listening, Frank. Thanks for tuning in.
He's a Facebook friend of mine. He comments on things, but I've never talked to him, so it was nice to hear from him.
Yeah, he's thinking about you. It's kind of sweet, right? So I wanted to talk, vulnerability. You know, that's what I'm always after. I'm after everybody's vulnerability. So you're not somebody who I see as presenting a lot of vulnerability.
Well, isn't that what that post you were asking about is?
Exactly. And now I want to know what's behind it, because the post is a kind of, I'm just going to say this, okay?
Oh,
this is my stupid opinion. I don't know anything.
For people tuning in or no?
No, I mean, I read it before. It says, I was feeling slightly depressed earlier. So it's very clever. I asked a friend for his advice. Cheer up, non-existence is around the corner. Okay, so it's a clever post, but it isn't fully on, it's hinting at vulnerability, but it's not directly saying, I'm depressed, something's wrong. It's saying that you felt, and then... So now that we're even talking about it, it seems, you know, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. What were you depressed about? Or what was on your mind? Let's just say that.
I think it was just, the stress of living in New York and having to, you know, deal with the logistics of things, living in New York. And, it's a hard place to live. And sometimes it can get to you.
Right.
And a lot of the people, you know, I was certain that maybe that people who were reading it also, you know, had moments where the city kind of got to them.
This is my projection on it, that I think people here do get depressed a lot, but that they put on their armor because we're all so success oriented that if we're afraid, if we show vulnerability,
right,
we're not going to be taken seriously or something.
Well, I think the New York Times, or I read in the New York Times, they were calling Facebook success theater.
That's so well put.
So it's like, everybody kind of shows their best moment,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then goes on with whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, they're not really talking about, you know, although I heard that the most popular Facebook status is FML.
Fuck my life.
Yeah. Hmm. That doesn't, it's not really sharing anything with anyone.
Right. Well, this is what I'm sort of harping on right now with you, actually, is because, like, on one hand, there is this sense that you had a blip of something wrong, but there's no, so in other words, like, I mean, you know, when I go the other way and I start thinking about people who, like, put out all the details of some disaster in their life, well, that's not really appropriate. I don't really necessarily want to hear about that. But I do want to hear about your, can we talk about your vulnerability just directly? Can we just do that without, mm-hmm. Okay, so when you get, there is no fucking way that somebody as smart and creative as you does not have periods of depression. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I have periods of depression, but it's not anything. It's not really anything I need to, like, medicate.
No, no, of course I'm not. I'm just trying to make you, uh-huh, this a human thing,
right?
So when you, I just want to get a sense of what it is that gets to you, like you say, living in New York. What's, just be a little specific. I want to know, is it friends, is it people, your work?
It's the art world in New York is intense, and I'm also involved in the jazz scene in New York,
mm-hmm,
and I'm dealing with a lot of different writers in the art publishing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The art and the art publishing is all kind of one thing. I don't see, you know, it's all part of, you know, I don't, so yeah, I mean, I'm an artist that plays the saxophone.
Right. So does, like, what frustrates you, the lack of time, or do the people that you're dealing with sometimes, or?
Well, I think everybody's rushing to sort of accomplish things, and I think in the scheme of things, people kind of lose track of what the object is.
What's important, you mean?
Or even, like, if they're from out of town, why they came here, or what they felt like they wanted to be in the scheme of things, because, you know, New York is like the world, so to speak. So, you know, it gets intense.
Yeah, because
if you're really involved, it gets intense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, go to a remote place and meditate.
Exactly. So does your art, is that really, like, when you're, do you feel like that's kind of like what's always, I mean, I think a lot of people turn to the work to, like, create their own emotional stability.
Well, I wouldn't say that I make art as therapy.
No.
I don't pour my soul out when I'm feeling blue. Although, you know, that does transfer into will happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the actual act of making anything is rewarding in itself. So I think you can be, you know, doesn't necessarily have to cheer you up if you're down. It's just that it keeps, I mean, for me, it's almost like it keeps me emotionally stable, because at least I can keep doing this.
Well, you were talking about my friend Michael Anderson earlier, the, mm-hmm, the collage artist.
Mm-hmm. Who's fabulous.
Yeah.
A lovely, lovely human being.
Right.
Kind.
Well, he brought me over to Ornette Coleman's house.
Wow. How did he know how to do that?
Well, he was friends with Ornette for 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was just friends with him. So I had asked Ornette different questions about art and music and this kind of stuff. And Ornette was really into visual art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really into music.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said, why make art to him? You know,
mm-hmm,
or why make sound?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's not why. It's can you?
So interesting. It's not why, can you?
It's can you.
You mean if you can?
So I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he was exactly thinking what I was thinking about the way he responded to that. But later on in my own way, I've kind of thought about it. And you know, I think all of the technology that people are dealing with, the smartphones and the digital cameras, mm-hmm. and the internet and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff, I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful to hear from a lot of people. And there's people that are younger than I am that are coming into the world not knowing any other kind of reality other than this sort of hyper-communication virtual sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm aware of that. But I think it gives people the illusion that more people are doing something interesting. And
that's
I'm not
well
trying
put.
To be a snob, but I am kind of being a snob, but I'm just, like, it's not up to me, is what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, I think history will siphon out the good and the bad, but I think people are under the impression that there are more geniuses than there are.
Well,
there's probably
know-
only 10 or 15 real serious geniuses in an era, depending
yeah.
on what field. I mean, you know.
I think it's an excellent point, and also I'm really glad to hear you say that because
I can keep my headphones on. I'll be one of them.
Yeah, if you know, we have no rules here, except you can't pour water on the board. That's all.
Right.
But the thing is that I think it's also really good hearing that from you because you're somebody that has a pretty big. I mean, you personally have a big view of. Broad view of the art world, but you're also in touch with all the writers and people that mm-hmm. work on White Hot and other things. Right. So you have a very, very broad view.
Well, also, a lot of people are in touch with me as well. Like, I don't wake up in the morning, like, trying to contact a bunch of people.
No. I mean,
I could.
I didn't.
No, I'm just saying, like, a lot of people reach out to me.
I would imagine.
And,
What do they want from you, do you think?
Well, I have helped people.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to do what I do anyway, even before I started a magazine. I just mm-hmm. had a natural talent for connecting mm-hmm. person A with person B,
mm-hmm.
who then connected them with these people. And I was always very good at taking someone and pointing them in a direction that would make them successful or famous or rich or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very frustrated that I couldn't do it for myself.
That's so interesting.
So my solution to that was to do some publishing that included me and other people. And we were all tied together into a certain platform, a magazine or piece of writing or whatever it is. But then you know, you don't expect something to actually become a magazine.
Right.
In mid-nervous breakdown. You know.
So, in mid-nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I was kind of in mid-nervous breakdown.
What is that about?
Well, I became fed up because I was ambitious and I wanted to really do something. I didn't want to do something... I wanted to really do something. I didn't want to do something casually.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to really do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see, at least in 2005, around the time that I started doing art publishing, I didn't see that I would be able to be what I wanted to be on my current trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went a little bit crazy. And out of that craziness, I came up with the idea of publishing a magazine.
Hmm.
And then for some reason, it was in the right timing where print publishing and digital publishing was starting to become more popular with art than print publishing. You know, 2005, mm-hmm. before Facebook, seems like a million years ago, but it was... before all of that.
So is part of what you were looking for was kind of creating a community?
Yeah, I mean, I had a kind of a rough idea of what it would be like.
Mm-hmm. And what was your, what was kind of your, I mean, you said you didn't, you were you weren't happy or you weren't satisfied with what was happening, and that was part of your motivation. So what was, what were you looking for?
Well, I felt like there, the I felt like artists had limited places where they could be published or promoted.
Mm-hmm.
There were some major art magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't, there were no online art magazines at that time. There were things that published about art online, right, at the time. I guess ArtNet had a magazine section, but it was kind of, right, a section within a website.
Right.
And Art Forum had their site, but it was, you know, mostly art paparazzi kind of,
right,
kind of
yeah, art openings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was interesting, but if you wanted to read a magazine, you had to buy a print, an art print magazine.
Right, to have discourse you're talking
about.
There was no
art magazine on the web.
Right.
So I thought, oh, well, it'd be interesting if I could make one. But it was a bit more, it was more of an ambitious project. It ended up so far being like 11 years.
It's amazing.
Many, many, many different partnerships and parties and,
yeah,
launch festivals. And also I've seen a lot of the people that I've published about become known, or I've got, you know, I always,
sure,
I get calls from people and they're like, oh, thanks for publishing me. I got $2 million commission in a,
oh,
big,
wow,
gallery, and I'm rich and famous now, and it's all because of you. Pat on the back. Like, please.
Did you say, well, where's
hang
my
up
fee?
And try your call again.
Where's my fee?
Right. Or,
yeah, but that is, no, so that is really cool. You kind of built a piece of, it's almost like you built a piece of real estate in the art world landscape.
I mean, that was the idea, but,
yeah,
but actually making that happen took a little bit of, like, catching a paradigm shift in,
mm-hmm,
reality.
Mm-hmm. And being tuned, being perceptive, being tuned into,
like,
it.
Like, I'm not sure I would be able to do it again. Although I would probably be able to do it again, but I'm not sure it's not something, there's a lot to it.
I think it's fairly incomprehensible to most people. I think most people probably would never even attempt something like that.
Right. Well, I think it's 3,500 articles. It's like 3 million words now.
Wow.
Something like that. 300,
wow,
writers.
But you've had so many life experiences also, right? Isn't it like totally enriching? Like beyond
well,
that?
Well, yeah. I've met a lot of people I wouldn't know.
Yeah, and you travel.
I travel.
Yeah. So anyway, you know what? I want to do another station ID, and then I want to ask you a few art world questions that I have in mind that I want to find out from you. I want your opinion on a few things.
Okay.
Right. And I also want to remind people, I'm going to do the station ID, and I'm going to start asking questions. And if you have some questions you want to ask Noah Becker of White Hot Magazine, you are welcome to call in at 718-928-9732, except for Frank. You already got your call. So anyway, thanks again for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Dr. Lisa here with Noah Becker on Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I invite you to go to our website, radiofreebrooklyn.org, and give us a couple of bucks, because now's the time. We need help. You know, this is a nonprofit. We run on a shoestring. We need help. We
send
need
the
all
money.
The help we can get. Absolutely.
Send the money. And while you're sending the money, send me money too.
Yeah, and definitely support the White Hot Magazine. But give us the money first.
First give them money.
Give us money, because Noah's thing is like really high class.
No, you don't need to send me money. Only
we
if
don't?
You want. Only if you want to.
Or I mean, I'll just give it to you right here.
Okay.
How's that?
All right.
So anyway, you know, one of the things that, okay, so this is me personally, this is bugging me. I'm starting to feel like there's pressure to move to LA. What do you think about the LA art scene? Have you been out there? What's your opinion?
In what way?
Like career-wise, growth, meaning like new work-wise, you know, is the work out there better? Are there more opportunities, more interesting, more true avant-garde?
Well, you know, I have people in LA that I work with. I have an LA editor.
Oh yeah.
For the past
that
decade, Shananese Dambrot,
mm-hmm.
is great, and there's a number of other people in mm-hmm. LA that I know. And I have relatives in LA, but it's very spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a topographical map of Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
and a topographical map of LA,
mm-hmm.
and their art scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were they put the dots for where the galleries are.
Mm-hmm.
And LA was like dot, 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 and then space, and then some more dots down here, and like, you know, very spread out.
Right.
And New York was very like clusters of galleries in the mm-hmm. same area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, LA is a lot warmer.
Well,
this winter isn't any indication.
No, but do you think that there are more you know what I'm asking, Noah?
Yeah.
Are there opportunities there? Is there more interesting work being done there? I often feel that because of the cash needed to do stuff in New York, that a lot of the work has gotten very conservative. And I'm not the first mm-hmm. person to say that by any means. So you know what I mean?
Well, some of the same. I mean, the galleries in LA end up at Fries Art Fair
mm-hmm.
or Art Basel.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what level of art world, you know, because the really mega galleries, they all end up at Art Basel or they end up at Fries or something, and logistics get kind of scrambled.
Right. Okay. So
as far as the, like, yeah, what's, I mean, happening on the ear to the
yeah,
ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's there's a gallery that I've, that I have a few pieces in called Wild and Cran
mm-hmm.
in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a show in LA.
Oh, great.
At Castelli Art Space.
Oh, wow. By Leo? I mean, was it his?
No,
he's dead, right?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, he's been dead a while.
There's an artist by the name of Will Ray.
Uh-huh.
That I recently interviewed. He used to be a Mad Magazine illustrator, and
he
was one of the people that created Ren and Stimpy. And Mad Magazine. And he's curating a show.
Oh, nice.
And then Shepherd Fairey is also going to be in it. The Obey John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's great. I've interviewed him myself.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. That's in November.
That is.
And then I'm showing at Art Toronto. So I'm going to go to Toronto at the end of October.
Cool. So you're showing,
I've been bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, and I'm showing in New Jersey as well, November
4th. Oh, where?
I have to.
You'll let us know.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
What I was going to say is like okay, so I posted all this stuff about Noah on my Facebook page, so you can go check it out. And is your latest body of work those really colorful paintings I was asking about before that have a collage sort of feeling to them? Is that what you're working on now?
Yeah.
And what can you explain that or say something about? Is there anything you can tell us about that work?
Well, it's on a field of Benday dots, which are kind of like similar to what Roy Lichtenstein and Warhol and those kind of guys had elements of that in their work. So it's just kind of like a field for imagery to kind of happen on.
Mm-hmm. How planned out are they before you? The compositions are fabulous.
Oh,
that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, they're somewhat planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more planned out than some things that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the body of work you did before that, that I'm aware of, was very much more, I'm going to say, somber and realistic.
What was it?
I'm thinking of, you know, the portraits you were doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was that the latest body of work before this, or missed one?
Yeah, no, I think that
I'm
was...
I'm following your career,
that
huh?
Was the,
got your work down. Good job,
I think
Lisa.
That was, yeah. I think that was the... that was the series before that.
Well, I have to say, they have completely different emotions. The other ones have a very profound and very serious and very, I don't want to say stern, but just very serious. Uh-huh. And these are like the opposite of that.
Well, I wanted to use a little bit more bright color in these.
But also, they're just a little more, they move more, you know, they're uh-huh. like, they're lighter and brighter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of how you're feeling,
well,
or what happened there?
I think what ends up happening is when you're happier,
mm-hmm.
you make more dark work.
Interesting.
And when you're less happy, I wouldn't say I'm like miserable or depressed by any means, but
right.
I think maybe making the paintings cheers you up if you use bright colors.
Huh.
Whereas if you're already like really cheerful, somber paintings are kind of therapeutic.
Well, I guess it's like, and you know, it's all instincts anyway. I don't think like those kinds of choices are all, I mean, they're not that conscious, are they, for you?
What?
You know, you make what you are moved
yeah.
to make.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But that makes sense. But what I was going to say is also, I think, you know, like you hear actors, well, I just did a drama, a very serious drama, so now I want to do a comedy. I think there's some of that too, isn't there? Is there?
Maybe a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know some actors, so I'll have to ask them.
Yeah, you ask them. Let me know. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, which I'm really curious about, is this controversy now, which is really fascinating to me. At the Guggenheim, and you can probably describe it better than I can in fact, but I'm just going to put it out there really quickly for the people who don't follow this crap. So the Guggenheim Museum is doing this survey of Chinese work from a certain period. What's the period? Do you know?
To be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to go up to the Guggenheim and see the show and they already pulled the controversial work before I had a chance to go up and see the show.
Well, yeah. But anyway, it's supposed to be about, you know, like Chinese culture, contemporary Chinese culture. And it's very intense. And, you know, living in China is not like for soft people. It's a very, you know, it's got to be very, very extreme. And they had three pieces that animal rights activists and other humans said they made them take out. One is a video of two pit bulls on being, you know, facing each other, but being strapped to treadmills so that they can't attack each other until they're exhausted and being sort of, you know, emotionally tortured by not being able to attack each other for hours on end. There was a video, or maybe just a photograph, a video of two tattooed pigs fucking. And it was tattooed in like Chinese characters, sort of in an intellectual way. So it was sort of like the visceral fucking with the intellectual character, you know, the intellectual writing. And I mean, tattooed all over those pig bodies. And then the other one, which I actually thought they should have left, which was some kind of enclosure where they put all different species of reptiles and bugs that wound up eating each other and fighting. So I thought that was so. What's your feeling? And also, I don't want to digress, but you wrote a really funny article about it titled, this is really funny. You wrote this, right?
Perhaps
Guggenheim Museum, Dogs on Treadmills, Green Energy Plan Announced, and it was a really funny article about how the Guggenheim is, you know, harnessing all the energy from the dogs on the treadmills to fuel the Guggenheim, the facility of the Guggenheim, but which is very funny, really very, very funny. But so what's your thoughts on all that?
A little bit of satire here and there is not a huge
thing. But what's your thoughts on the censoring and them taking the taking out those exhibits?
Well, I didn't see the show, so I can't comment on to what level the animal cruelty, if there was any, could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as art being censored by public opinion, I think that there's problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
With you know, that kind of, I mean, it's the Guggenheim Museum. It's not American Idol,
right?
You know, I realize people want to put in their vote and protest, and it's probably for the right reasons, because I think using animals in art is especially in that way, can be kind of a problematic thing. I mean, there was something at the Vancouver Art Gallery where they had a bug hotel, and people made a fuss about insects being used in art. Mm-hmm. And I think that was also, I don't remember if it was the same artist, but it was another Chinese artist.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an artist that was showing at David Zwirner that had like this wall of what looked like deer that had been like incinerated, but I'm not sure if it was real deer.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't accuse them of anything. But I don't think the public at large has control over what artists do or don't do.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that it should have been censored? Or you think that it's hurting our culture by the Guggenheim?
It just seemed really quick, so fast that I didn't even have a chance to see the show.
Mm-hmm. And so you don't think it was thought out?
Well, it was a protest, and they responded to the protest.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on animals being used in art, where they're being like hurt or something?
I had a turkey sandwich for lunch.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't hurt the turkey. The turkey was ideally killed humanely.
I mean, what if I danced around the turkey sandwich and turned it into performance art? Would it be wrong then?
No, because it was just...
cruelty and putting something through cruelty and agony is not good.
But
I don't stand for that. I don't stand behind that at all.
You also, the thing is also, I mean, people will...
But I think a lot of people just protest from their armchair and then go back to their watching Game of Thrones.
I think you're right about that.
They don't have enough information to even know whether they're protest. They just see 10,000 people saying, hey, take that off the wall, and, you know...
No, I
don't have enough information to say whether the dogs were run to exhaustion and then like turned into like pit bull steaks or something. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, I think it's a really good point. I mean, what you're saying in a way, I think, is that there wasn't any real public dialogue, that there were only reactions. Is that kind of what your point?
Well,
to some degree.
I just think it's a troubling situation if you're going to allow the public to decide what's hung in a museum via the internet.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. They said that there were like death threats. They were afraid of violence.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine sent me a thing about a guy, an artist in the 80s in Vancouver, who threatened to kill Sniffy the mouse as an art thing. And this huge mob of people ran after him down the street and threatened to kill him. And, you know, so... it's an ongoing thing. I've heard of a lot of these controversies, I don't stand behind animal cruelty as art, not at all.
So you're not.
But I can't say whether it was animal cruelty or not, because they took it down so quick that I didn't even have a chance to see the show.
Okay, right? So just to like hear your point of view. So let's say you saw it and you assumed it and you found it to be animal cruelty. Then do you think it should be taken out?
I don't think animal cruelty is good, whether it's art or factory farming or people abusing their pets or whatever it is. I don't really see a good side to that.
But where do you draw the line between animal cruelty and eating your turkey sandwich?
Well, that's the question.
Ah.
I mean, I think definitely factory farming is cruelty to animals.
Uh-huh.
Yet... the same people that eat their turkey sandwich or have their T-bone steak will call cruelty for putting a dog on a treadmill.
Right.
Yet they'll, you know, entrap animals in factory farms
right.
and enjoy the meat produced by the, you know.
So, right. So basically, humanity hasn't really dealt with this very directly, have they?
There's just built-in hypocrisy there that makes me think that it's problematic.
Mm. You know what? Here's my opinion. Since I'm going to put it out there, I felt that. Well, first of all, I think, you know, it's kind of like I think human cruelty is really widespread, and I think that this is a way of sort of, you know, I'm not promoting it. I'm not saying it's good, but it's sort of like a way of talking about human cruelty using animals and making people aware of it in a certain way, because it's just like it's like experimenting on animals because we can.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that discussion. I kind of already said my piece about that, mm-hmm. and I think you get my,
yeah.
you get the premise yeah. of what I was saying.
Yeah.
What I would like to, you know, I mean, we don't have to get into a political discussion, but it just, you know, just because a whole bunch of people think it's the right thing to do doesn't mean it's necessarily the right thing to do.
I agree. I was just going to say that the one thing is that I thought there was a distinction between the animals on the treadmill and the pigs that were tattooed, and then the enclosure with the animals eating each other, because there was very, very direct human unnatural. The humans intervene unnaturally with the dogs and the tattooing of the pigs,
well,
stuff like that.
Vim Delvoye did tattooed pigs. I didn't see anybody complaining about that.
Well, I don't think that's very nice.
Why just protest the Chinese artists?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, this is the whole thing. No one's really looking at it. I mean, we're saying it. I think we're saying the same thing, in that there's not enough dialogue.
I don't think using pit bulls as actors in your art is any less repugnant than the guy that did the bum fights videos and paid homeless people to beat each other up or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's, you know, pretty gross, like, too. Yeah, that's
just
gross.
Like, you know, leave living things that don't have a choice in the matter alone.
No, it's gross. And how do we, you know, it's human cruelty. How do you approach that?
But then on another level, I'm supportive of art resonating. But I also don't like the post resonance of, like, oh, well, you know, it created a furor, so it's doing its job.
Right.
It opened up the conversation. You know, it created a conversation through doing exactly what the conversation is trying to fight against.
Right. No, I know.
Kind of like,
I know. It creates some awareness, but I also think there's so much going on in the art world today and in other areas where people are really just trying to get attention, right? And
well,
where does
it's just,
that...
If you just call it the art world, that's fine. But I mean, it kind of transcends the art world when you're dealing with those kinds of issues. It's just,
yeah.
It's the human world.
The human world. I think that people historically, maybe not so much anymore, have looked to the art world as a way to address, you know, the trials and tribulation.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
This is like New Year's
soda.
Eve. Soda.
Soda.
Water.
Didn't get any. It's, so anyway, the trials and tribulations of humanity. I mean, I think art is a metaphor, right, for talking about human nature a lot, too. I mean, that's what's going on here, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch subjects, because we only have 10 minutes left, and I really want to hear the story about how you were in an art show with Keith Richards' daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear about this. Oh. You wouldn't tell me. I asked you about it. Listen, folks. Noah wouldn't tell me about it when I asked him before the show started. Right. He said, we'll talk about it on the air. So I say, he saved this for you. Go ahead.
Well, there was a curator who goes as New York at New York Romantic on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And very low key curator.
Mm-hmm. Is it somebody I might have met or known?
Hard to say.
Okay.
In any case, he organized a group show, and she was in the group show.
Keith Richards' daughter.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Theodora.
Theodora. Richards.
Yeah, she was involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I met her at the art show, and we showed together.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah.
So how old is she?
I'm not sure.
But young,
not,
20s?
Not very old, probably. Yeah.
And what was her art like?
Drawings, nice drawings.
What kind of feeling?
There were some nudes in them, and there were some forest, you know, like landscapes.
Mm-hmm. And did you think you thought she was talented?
Yeah, she's talented. Yeah, I mean, she comes from a talented
family.
Family, yeah.
And she has training, and she's a pretty serious artist.
Yeah.
And was she like totally gorgeous?
Pretty well, yeah.
Yeah, but like, did she look like a model?
She is a model.
Oh, she is a model. Yeah. I should suppose that sounds familiar.
Yeah, know that. If you look her up, she is a model.
She's a model.
But yeah, I liked her a lot. I thought she was very nice.
Mm-hmm. And is she like friendly or shy?
Very friendly and down to earth. Very friendly.
Very down to earth. Yeah. Because she is, now there's a person who's probably really worldly, right?
Yeah, I mean, she was taking off. I said, "What are you?" She's taking off to, or I mean, she's touring around Europe with her father's band now.
Oh wow! Yeah. Does she perform as well?
No, I think she just goes on tour with them.
Oh, like hangs out with Dad.
Yeah, just hangs out. Yeah, I think.
Do you think her life is pretty stable? I mean, in the sense that I think her father, once he's been off of drugs for how long now?
Well, I'm not a Keith Richards historian, but seems like he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, like 20, 30 years.
Maybe.
He seems really, you know what I think a big turning point as far as the general public's impression of Keith Richards is?
What?
Is when he put out that memoir, because it was
right.
So beautifully written and so
right.
Thoughtful, and I think people thought about him differently after that.
Well, I know his manager.
Oh.
And she was responsible for getting that book off the ground.
It's a great book.
And yeah.
Yeah, really.
I think it was an excellent idea, and I think I remember reading it.
Yeah, a lot of insight in there.
There was a Bob Dylan autobiography that was pretty good too.
Yeah, I don't know. There was one, Chronicles? I did not love that.
Okay.
But, you know, that's
I like
just
Miles
me.
Davis. Of course, Miles Davis.
Yeah, I haven't read that one. So, okay, 7 minutes left. Do you have any art shows that you've seen in New York?
Well, I'm going to some shows tonight. I'm meeting up with Spencer Tunick.
Oh, nice. We love Spencer so much.
Spencer has become a really close friend.
He's a wonderful, him and his whole family, yeah. Well, his wife, his kids, they're great.
So I'm meeting with Spencer, and we're going to some openings later tonight.
Oh.
So that'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
But I haven't really, I've been out a little bit. I haven't gone to like a ton of
right,
shows.
Because you also decided a couple of weeks ago to buy a coffee maker instead of going to art openings.
Well, that particular night, I felt like buying a coffee maker.
You know, I got to tell you something. When I came home from art openings that night, I was so annoyed with the crap I saw.
Well, it's not, you know, it just becomes like kind of everybody's back in town and most of the people there may be like going to art school or want to be seen or whatever it is. And
yeah, I think I picked the wrong night.
I end up catching up with anybody with everybody anyway.
Right, right,
eventually,
right.
It's like, oh, you know, and then you run into people just kind of forcing the issue and being out there and kind of taking selfies with everybody. I end up taking a lot of selfies with celebrities, but only if I know them.
Right,
I don't generally photograph celebrities for the sake of...
Although you do have that fucking awesome blog, which we haven't mentioned.
What?
What is it?
Blog?
People with, or whatever it is, vlog, the picture collection. It's an Instagram, I guess, of stranger. What is it? People with Chuck Close.
I think that's a Facebook page. That's not a blog.
Oh, all right. So, but that's a Facebook page.
No, it's called Random People with Chuck Close.
That's yours, right?
It is mine.
It's hilarious.
Well, it's kind of, it's on Facebook. It's called Random People with Chuck Close. And then there's also the White Hot Magazine Facebook page and group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving a little shameless plug now.
Please do.
Also my own Instagram, Noah Becker, at Noah Becker Studio.
Mm-hmm. Where's the best way for people to see your paintings, your work? Is it your Facebook page or is it your
You mean if they want to see it online?
Yeah.
Yeah. They can go to at Noah Becker Studio on Instagram
mm-hmm.
and see my paintings on
mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll lead them to my website. And also Googling me, stuff comes up if you Google me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been involved in a lot of things.
I wrote for The Guardian recently. That was
Oh, really? What did you write for them?
I wrote about Cindy Sherman's Instagram.
Wow. What did you say?
Well, first of all, that's a bit of pressure writing about Cindy Sherman's Instagram.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Secondly, for The Guardian, it's a little bit of extra pressure.
Right. Yes.
Because it's highly public.
Sure.
It's like the fourth or fifth most read newspaper in the world with 42.5 million readers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when you're in those scenarios,
mm-hmm.
you just have to kind of go with it.
So what was your feeling about it? What did you write? What was your opinion?
I can't remember exactly what I wrote word for word, but I asked a few different people for their comments.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was kind of about the mystery surrounding whether she was making work that was for showing in a physical space or just making Instagram work as Instagram work.
Mm-hmm. And what was...
Or if Instagram is art.
Right.
You know,
right.
That kind of stuff.
Or maybe comparing the quality of her Instagram to the quality of the work that you see in galleries and museums, IRL,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Did you see a difference there?
I mean, it's the same artist. You can tell it's the same artist.
Yeah, I mean,
You can tell it's Cindy Sherman if you follow her work. It's no question that it's Cindy Sherman.
Oh, yeah. I guess what I wonder about is if you put your, you know, it's like a way to put, or at least how I see it is like, put this, I'm not sure if I'm committed to this. I'll put it on and, you know, make a picture out of it and post mm-hmm. it somewhere. So it's like putting your B work out there, right? In a B minus, I mean, there's no way that your work is going to resonate the way it would in person. So by her putting work on there, it's sort of, is it undermining her work and her IRL work?
Well, I think that was part of the fuss because then she's, you know, is she compromising her reputation by engaging with Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for people who don't see any distinction, then it's not an issue.
You know? I can't imagine. How could you not see a distinction?
Well, if you're 20 years old and Instagram was always there, then it's kind of like the telephone or television or whatever. It's just kind of every day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I guess it's a music.
That didn't have cell phones. And then cell phones came along and we got ourselves the giant cell phone. When we got out of prison, we were like Michael Douglas in Wall Street.
You know
what? We got our giant cell phones given to us with our belongings. And,
we only right? have 20 seconds left, and that's a really good point. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a link to that Guardian article. And